Well, good morning, everybody. Won't you stand to your feet? Welcome to church. We're going to have a great day praising God together. We just encourage you to worship the Lord with your heart. We're going to have a great day.
Hey, oh, hallelujah. God is great and glorious. We put our trust in your name, Jesus. Able to save and deliver us. We put our hope in your name, Jesus. Oh, blessings, saints, and honor, glory unto our God.
Yeah.
the book of Psalms says, well, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be on my mouth. So why don't we do that right now and just praise him in this place. Lift him up high in this place because he's good. And though things around us may fall, my God will never fail. My God will always be powerful and mighty. So I think he deserves some praise and I think he deserves some worship today. So I pray, God, that you will bless us. You will strengthen us as we lift a big praise to you today. Come on, let's praise him in this house. Oh, yeah.
Savior of the world, the Lord of all, love eternal, unconditional, laying down your life, you gave it all for me. Faithful is your name, the Holy One, great in all your ways, your kingdom come, laying down your life, you gave it all for me.
Hey.
place this morning. He's bigger, he's better, he's stronger, he's mightier. Come on, church, let's just praise him for all those things today. Go ahead, lift your voice. Lift your voice and begin to say, God, you are bigger. Hallelujah. You are bigger and stronger than my need. You are bigger and stronger than my fears. Come on, let's lift him up. Sometimes we need to press in and worship, and we get God, he gets his attention, he comes down and hits us hard with his presence. So let's do it right now, church. Let's thank him, let's worship him. Let's say we need more of you today, God. We need more of you today. Oh, yes. And all we want
and
all we need is found in Jesus. And all
we ask
is more of you. Cause nothing else will satisfy our heart's desire, and all we want is more of you. For the Lord is good.
Oh yes.
For the Lord is
good. He's good.
And his love endures. Yes, the Lord is good forever.
Oh, I know it's true, and I'll shout it out.
It's found
in Jesus. Oh,
God. You're thankful that you can say the name of Jesus in any circumstance, and he comes. I just want to share a little testimony with you. I was meeting with a lady, and she was telling me a little bit about her testimony. You know that every person in your row has a testimony. And she was telling me that she was not serving the Lord at the time, but had come to this church as a teenager. So that should encourage some of you. And she said that she was in a very, very awful situation, in a very abused situation. And she said that her husband was drunk and he was coming after her. And it was just a bad, bad moment. And she thought, this is it. This is it. This is it. He's going to do what he said. This is it. And she said she was in a corner and he was coming at her, and she said, Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And she said it was like there was a wall that he hit and it was protection. I still believe that we can call the name of Jesus and there can be a wall of protection. I still believe if we're sick, we can say, Jesus, in the name of Jesus. I listened to that and she said, I didn't even know that was still in me. But I knew that was my only hope. And can I just tell you that he passed out? I don't know how. Something about that wall of protection. And she sat there and just thanked Jesus. Can I just say, let's just take a minute to thank that name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Whatever you are facing today, Lord, we thank you that you're a wall of protection, that you still protect us when we need it. We thank you that we can call out the name of Jesus. Will you just say that name with me? Jesus, we can say that name and you can still come. We thank you that you're going to come to Charleston Church today. We thank you that every person in the balcony, every person on the floor is going to have an encounter today with the name of Jesus. We thank you that you are in this place today and you are our safety, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you just be seated? And we're just excited about today, amen? We're excited about today. He's a good, good, good God. Charleston Church, will you welcome all of our visitors today? We're so glad you're in the house. We're so glad that you're here. If this is your first Sunday, or if you have never filled out a contact card, if you would just take that, it's in the seat ahead of you, take it, fill it out, and we're going to have the offering in just a minute, and you can put that in the offering. We are so glad you're here. And then when you leave, we have a gift for you, because everybody loves gifts. Yes, oh, they do. If you think that your husband or wife doesn't, they do. They do. They love them. Yes. I'm just kidding, kinda. So we have a gift for you. So when you leave today, if you'll stop at that big round table out there, and we have a gift for you, and we're just glad that you're here. Everybody needs a church. They do, and we're glad that you're a part of this church. I just have a couple of announcements. How many of you know that there's a lot going on at Charleston Church? And how many of you are thankful that there's a lot going on? Yes, yes. Well, thank you. That's good. Thank you. On September 12th, that's this Tuesday, we have the senior citizens meeting, and that's in the fellowship hall, and it's at 11 o'clock, and you need to come. First of all, the food is amazing. We kind of sneak down there and invite ourselves, even though I'm 29. And that starts at 11, and it's a great time, and the testimonies that you will hear are so encouraging. And then the 14th and the 15th, we're having the Safe Place yard sale. And let me tell you, before you go, clean your vehicle out, because you will want to leave with it filled of new stuff. It's wonderful. It's like going to Martin's, but it's close. And then I need all the ladies to just raise your hand and wave to me. All the ladies. Okay, I'm looking. Some of you are not waving, and I'll wait. It's all good. I got time. Ladies, wave. Oh, there we go. There's a couple more. On September 29th and 30th, we're having our I Am Woman conference. That's a Friday night and Saturday morning. So I want you to take your calendar out and save those dates, because this couple services are for you. And how many want your house to be stronger? Amen? So that you're going to leave, it's going to be the light, and you're going to leave, and you're going to leave blessed. I believe that this is going to be our best conference that we've ever had. I just believe the Holy Spirit is going to move in a great way. So I'm just be praying about that. And ladies, invite some of your friends. Okay, ushers, you may come. I have want to share with you about our school supplies that you have so generously given the last month. This year was our third year, and I want you to know that I can't even explain what happened. We went through and we got to give each teacher their supplies, and what they said about you was unbelievable. They said, there's something about that church. They said, that church is so giving. They said, you always help us. And I just wanted a teacher from one of the schools to come and just share for a minute. This is Carrie Carr, and we're so happy to have her and her husband Joel with us. And she teaches at the middle school. So I just wanted, you know, you hear from me all the time, but I wanted you to hear from one of our great teachers.
So when Pastor Darcy called and asked me if I would share one of the testimonies I had from the school supplies, I said, absolutely, because it's so exciting to share the things of God and what God does through his people. And I want you guys to know that at Charleston Church, you guys have been, and will continue to be a blessing to this community far greater than you ever know. And I had a student this week who was sitting in my classroom, and I asked him to get us some supplies out to do a project for me. And he said, I don't have any. He said, my parents told me I couldn't get all my supplies right now, but we'll get them. He said, we just couldn't get them all right now. And I think all he had was about two pencils. And so that very afternoon, I walked into our staff lounge, and the entire counter was full of supplies. And so I was able to get everything plus a little more to give to him the next day. And just to see his face just brighten, because now he's ready for school. Now he doesn't have to be ashamed of not having the things he needs if the teacher calls them to get something out. And so he has his very own supplies now because of you. And I read something this morning that said, love is the most powerful force in the universe. And I don't know about you, but I am so glad I serve God, who is love. And so thank you for all of your generosity to our schools and to our students.
I just want to say thank you so much for being one of the most giving and loving churches. You really are, and we really appreciate that. So let's just ask the Lord to bless our offering today. I know that you're going to be faithful in your tithes and your offering, because you are, and it works. So I'm just so thankful. And isn't it good to hear testimonies? It's so good. So let's just pray together, okay? Lord, I just thank you for this church and for how it reaches out, Lord, continually. We thank you, Lord, for every school supply that was prayed over even before we dropped them off to the school, that every child that would touch a pencil would be blessed. I thank you, Lord, for all that they do. And I thank you, Lord, for this church and for their faithfulness. We know that we are blessed when we obey your word. And I thank you, Lord. I pray, Lord, for the homes that maybe are struggling financially. I know, God, that you're going to help them. You're going to provide for them. You're going to meet their needs. I pray, Lord, that you bless this church so that we can do more ministry outside the walls than we've ever done. Lord, we pray for the orphanages today, Lord, that we support, the Bible colleges that we support. Lord, every ministry, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you will continue to bless them. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Good job. Good morning. How's everybody doing? I'll get down here and look you in the whites of the eyes for a minute. Make sure I get to get a good feel for who's here. Is everybody having a good day? Turn to your neighbor and tell them you're having a great day. Go ahead. Just because you're sitting beside me, just tell them, now that you're beside me, you're having a great day. That's awesome. Hey, is anybody here for the very first time? Just raise your hand. Is anybody here for, I'm not going to make you stand out. Just raise your hand. Hey, that's fantastic. Excellent. We got some newbies here today. Let's welcome the newbies. Mark Washburn is a grampy again. And Derice. Oh, I knew that. I just couldn't see Derice. Got this big guy in camo in front of her. There's Derice over there. Yeah, they have another grandchild. Woo! Keep them coming. No? Yes? No? Oh, well, whatever. Whatever. Hey, I want us to pray together as they're receiving the offering, just to give you a bit of a report with this storm coming up through the Caribbean. We have an orphanage that we're heavily invested in Haiti, and from my understanding, they're okay. Everything's okay at the orphanage. Everybody's safe, so we're grateful. Let's give God thanks for that. And then the earthquake, which I'll talk more about in just a moment. I just need some monitor here, Alfie. Thank you. That earthquake, in the center of it, is about where David and Lily Beck are. And there are our missionaries that we support into Mexico. And they've reported that they're okay as well. So we're grateful that they're all right. So let's thank God for that. I want us to pray. You don't have to stand, but would you just pray together with me? As we know, latest I've heard at least, Irma's moving up the west coast of Florida, and there are people, everybody knows somebody in Florida, right? Isn't that weird? Everybody knows somebody in Florida. Does anybody know anybody in Delaware? Three or four people, yeah. Not very many. So, I don't know why that popped into my head. Utah, does anybody know anybody in Utah? One, two, all right, three, all right. Does anybody know anybody in Atkinson? Not that many either, right? Not that many to know. I want us to pray together. Isn't it good to know that God is the master of all things and that we have somebody to call on today, right? Let's call on him. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for every person that has been through the hurricane in the Caribbean. We pray for the rebuilding of their lives. We pray for those that are right now, currently, while we're here, beautiful sunshine, there on the same coast, but in another part of this nation, Lord, people are just getting nervous, and Lord, situations are going on. We just pray by your Spirit, you'll hear the prayers of people, not only the prayers of the people that are praying themselves, but those that are praying for others. And God, we pray a hedge around the people and all that we're being told will happen. We pray it will not happen, and we ask for safety and a hedge. And Lord, empower those local churches like we saw in Texas. Now, Lord, when this passes through, let there be a rallying of churches to begin to reach their communities. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen and amen. If you take your Bibles and open them, you don't have to know where yet, but just open them, And thank you, musicians. This morning, I had planned on talking to you about raising the next generation, and I'm really excited about it because I feel like God has really inspired me with some necessary and some practical things that you can lay a track. We all want our kids to serve God's purpose. Amen? I mean, that's without question. Well, how do we do that? It can be a daunting task, and you got to admire anybody that would try it. But I'm going to talk about that next week. That's what the bed is up here for. I don't plan on taking a nap. Willie asked if he could lay down. And I said, I heard you snore. It would be disruptive to the message. And so I wouldn't let him do that. But the bear will probably go. That belongs to Macy. And so that will go. But the bed will stay. And I'll talk about that next week. So you need to be here if you got grandkids, kids, nieces and nephews, if you work with children. I really hope that you'll make an effort to be here next week. But today, you know, I'm learning a lot on some aspects, and I think we all do this as we're doing something for the Lord. You feel like you're just starting all over again many times. You're still learning. And there are two things that I'm learning from God when it comes to ministering. How many know the Bible ought to be preached? We ought to have worship, we ought to give, but we can't do it without the Word. And so I'm learning when I address you, and it's a privilege, really. It's an awesome privilege. When I address you, there's two things. The one, I need to either tell you something I believe that God is saying to all of us, or I need to address something that perhaps all of us are thinking about. And so today is the latter. I think there's something we're all thinking about, and I just, over the past 24 hours, just asked the Lord to help me to know how to communicate to you. So if you came today and you're looking for something slick or smooth in the preaching, that's really never been a goal. So I can't say next week will be any better. That really is not the, you know, we don't say, well, that was smooth. Wow, it's a win. We just like, well, we got through it without offending as any more people than were necessary. Right? I like to keep the offense to just the target. like if you get offended, you're probably in the target. And I don't want anybody outside that to get hit, so... But sometimes that happens. Anyways, I want to talk to you on two views on storms. One, how the Bible predicts a lot of things. And that's what makes the Bible so incredible. You know, the Bible has outlasted kingdoms. The Bible has outlasted militaries. How many know that Bible is some kind of supernatural document, isn't it? It's incredible. A lot of stuff is built and destroyed, and that Bible still remains. And the Bible tells a lot about the future, which is one of the aspects of what makes the Bible so dynamic. So I want to talk to you about the prophetic or the future, just the big picture of storms. And then I want to talk to you about the personal side of storms. You know, often Jesus referred to looking at the sky for signs. In Genesis chapter 1, in fact, when he made the sun and the moon, he said these are for signs of the times. We read in the book of Matthew chapter 16, Jesus said, you know, you guys are smart enough to look at the sky and you're able to determine the weather by the next day. The kings that traveled to worship Jesus followed a star. The book of Acts chapter 2, when Peter preached, he said that there will be signs in the heavens. Signs. Somebody say signs. Signs, signs, everywhere there's signs. And God does this. Please hear this. I think it's beautiful that there's signs in the sky because they're not just for select people. They're for anybody that can look up. And these are signs to tell you what's to come. God never sneaks up on anybody. The only way that God will ever sneak up on anybody is that they just simply ignored the signs. He warned, I'm coming, but they didn't heed the signs. And that's another thing that I love about God, is that he doesn't have to give us signs of what's coming, but because he loves us, he gives us signs. Can God? I'll talk about that in just a moment. Signs. Pay attention to the signs. And so there are signs not only in the heavens, but there are signs in the earth of what God wants to do next. And in one time, when the disciples gathered with Jesus, they said, tell us the signs of your return. And so in Matthew chapter 24, if you want to turn there, it'll be on the screen as well. Jesus told them in verse 4 of Matthew 24, don't let anyone mislead you, and I'm going to go through this slowly. For many will come in my name claiming I'm the Messiah, they will deceive many. Stop right there. Jesus is saying before his return, there will not be a lack of spirituality, there'll be a lack of relationship with him. There will not be less spiritual talk in these days, Jesus says. He said there'll be much spiritual talk, but it will be spiritual, but it won't be God. And we are hearing, and tune into this, we are hearing, and I may talk about it next week, there is a rise of a certain segment of our population called the nuns, not the ladies. The N-O-N-E-S, nuns. These are people who would not say that God doesn't exist. They would admit something exists. They just don't care. In fact, there are a group of nuns in our society, not Catholic nuns, educated nuns, N-O-N-E-S, that would say Jesus is God, the Bible is from Him. They just simply don't care. Scary. I'll deal with that maybe next week. There will be deception. But now, go on to the next verse. And you will hear of wars and threats of wars. I don't. If you watch the news at all, how many know North Korea is a problem? CBS reports that there are 170,000 nuclear weapons on the planet. If India and Pakistan, who both have nuclear weapons, had war, they have enough capacity to destroy the planet. It should be a wake-up call because the Cheyenne Mountain Complex, which is a nuclear monitoring facility for the United States, has recently been reopened. Wars. Then look what he says, but don't panic. Why would I? Okay. I hope this is the bad news, not the good news. How do you not panic when you know that some madman could destroy our coast? You don't panic because you know who's in control. That word don't panic means don't continually be in fret. Don't continually be in fear. And there is no natural reason to not panic. If you don't know God today, panic. No, panic like you've never panicked before. Get nervous. Get wound up. Wake up. Walk the floor. Stir yourself. Don't sleep at night. If you don't know God, panic with everything that you've got within yourself. But if you do know God, rest. Why? Because ultimately, God is in control. And this planet is not subject to only man. There's a God above it all. And when I go to bed at night, I sleep knowing that this world is in chaos. But ultimately, God's plan will be fulfilled. Don't panic. Don't panic. Just relax. Relax. Put your panic-producing prophecy novels away. Start a fire in December with them. And pick your Bible up and say, until he comes, I'm going to be busy, not panicking, but I'm going to be busy doing the work of God. Don't panic. Yes, these things will take the place, but the end will not immediately follow. All right? What does he say next? Verse 7. Nation will go to war against nation. We heard about that. Kingdom against kingdom. That word kingdom means political power. Political power. Political power will go against political power. And I'm trying to be concise and use your time the best possible. But you understand this race war as it is. It's not like the media wants to say it is. But how many understand it's politics behind all of it? Political power is always taking advantage of people to get political power. Political power. What's going on in the world? Political power. Why are people turning against people? People, it's in the fleshly nature to want to dominate somebody else. And the greatest way to do that is through political power. Both sides of the aisle. Political power will come against political power. There will be famines. Listen to this stat. One of six people in the world woke up hungry today. Now, I wake up hungry every morning. One in six people woke up hungry with no hope for breakfast. One out of three of all child deaths under the age of five in developing countries is due to starvation. It's a sign. But then he says there'll be earthquakes in many parts of the world. And this is where I want to talk about storms. This is where I want to talk about storms. You know, the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 8 that the earth convulses. The earth just tremors. Why? Because there's a curse at work in the earth. God doesn't send storms. They're the result of a cursed creation. Did you hear what I just said? God didn't send Irma. Irma is a result of a cursed creation. And this will continue to happen until the curse is lifted off creation. Let me just give you, let's talk about some numbers, all right? Let's talk about Hurricane Harvey. Let's talk about the numbers. ABC News reports. Now, I'm going to tell you some storms that didn't happen a year ago, 10 years ago, 40 years ago. I'm talking about storms that have happened in the last 2 weeks, 14 days. Watch. More than 20 trillion gallons of water was dumped on Texas and Louisiana. That represents enough water to supply New York City's needs for the next 50 years. I don't know if you can conceptualize the numbers I'm about to give you, but they're huge. Governor Abbott, Texas governor, says that $125 billion in excess of that will be required to rebuild Texas. Almost 52 inches of rain fell on the outskirts of Houston. That's a lot of rain. 185,000 homes have been damaged or destroyed. 364,000 people registered for assistance with FEMA. 43,000 people spent a night were in the shelters as of this past Friday. 200,000 people are without power. In Beaumont, Texas, 120,000 people without water. That's a serious storm. And they're still recovering. Last week, you gave an offering to that, and I'm glad that we got to send that local church down there $2,500 from a little church in Charleston, Maine, to help them reach souls and rebuild down in southeast Texas. How about Irma? Well, we don't know what its effects are going to be on the states yet, but the unincorporated U.S. territory of Puerto Rico has 1 million people without power. Well, they're used to it. It's the first earthquake Puerto Rico's had since 1928. This is according to The Guardian. The French part of St. Martin's, 95% of it is totally destroyed. St. Bart sustained considerable damage. And you've heard some of the incredible numbers. That's according to The Guardian. But here's some stories that you haven't heard of that didn't happen 100 years ago. They happened this past few days ago. The Huffington Post reports that the sun has fired at least 5 sizable solar flares towards our planet since September 4th, culminating in the largest flare observed by the NASA organization since 2008. Jesus said there'll be signs in the sky, right? CNN reports that Mexico had that earthquake now measured at 8.1 in the Richter scale. What's 9, the highest you can go? Let me read CNN reports. Magnitude 8.1 quake, which was felt as far as Mexico City and Guatemala City, was registered off Mexico's southern coast just at the same time as heavy rains from Hurricane Katia lashed the east. The epicenter was in the Pacific Ocean, some 600 miles southeast of the capital and 74 miles off the coast. It was felt, this earthquake was felt by 50 million people across the country. It's the strongest earthquake Mexico has experienced in 100 years. I'm not talking about something that your grandparents experienced. I'm talking about something that you've been hearing about in the past 2 weeks. What does that mean? What was Jesus trying to say? And what is the Bible perspective on this increase of natural catastrophes, storms? The Bible says in the book of Matthew, chapter 24, verse 14, this is what's going to happen as a result of these. For Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 14, and the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear it, and then the end will come. Why or what does God have to say to us in the midst of recurring natural storms and disasters? It says that it's a wake-up call, that it is time to share the gospel with all creatures, with all people, on all continents, in all countries, on all parts of the earth. What it is a wake-up call for the church to stop being 90-minute Christians, being compromised on the other 6 days, and just wondering how you can be comfortable and get spiritually fat in a comfortable chair. What the gospel message is for us in the midst of the last days is when you see these signs come, it's time to stand up and declare, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is coming. There's one salvation, and by Him all men can be saved. It's in Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. When we see these signs, it is a wake-up call for the church. It is the alarm bell ringing. Church, wake up. When you go to work this week, you have the greatest opportunity to share the gospel than you have in the past 3 months. Everybody will be talking at work this week. about the storms. And I would encourage you to really let the Holy Spirit speak to you. And at the right moment, with the right words, say, you know, the Bible said these things would happen. You know, the Bible said that this is inevitable. You know, this is not going to get better. You know, in a 24-hour period, millionaires and billionaires gathered their children in their fancy vehicles and drove to shelters and slept in a bed right beside a homeless person. And I hope that's a wake-up call to remind them that you can't make enough money, save enough money, build a big enough house, or have a fancy enough security system to help you avoid trouble. Trouble's got a good eye. But I got good news for you. What your money and your security system can't do, I serve a God in heaven who's still bigger than all these things. He's a strong tower, and the righteous run in, and they are safe. So a few months ago, again, here I come. The president had a gathering of dozens of pastors and ministers in his office, and they lay hands on him and prayed for him. And the media went berserko. What a travesty. People praying for the president. What have we come to? That same president called last Sunday to be a national day of prayer for the victims of Hurricane Harvey, and all I could hear were crickets. Amazing, they didn't have anything. They had a lot to say when he invited people to pray for him, and they had nothing to say when he said, we've got to pray because people's lives are in danger. Why? Because down at the bottom of it all, humanity longs for something that is bigger. And the storm makes you feel your mortality, but God lets you to know he's still bigger than every mountain. He's still bigger than every storm, and people need to hear the gospel. Let's not be silent. Come on. I said, let's not be silent. As long as we've got breath, the people in this town, in this community, in this county will know we are here. We are here. We will help the schools. We will help the neighborhoods. We will help the hungry. Come on, somebody. We will not be quiet. We will not back down. We will not back off. We will use our voice to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's time to get your witness back on. The storms are there to wake us up. To start sharing the gospel again. But your storm doesn't look like that. So let me move from the prophetic view, and I'll be done in just a moment, to the personal view of the storm. Your storm looks different. I wrote down what came to mind this morning. A job layoff, a foreclosure, an eviction, a repossession, a miscarriage, a good kid gone bad. A marital storm, an addiction, depression, a legal problem, a financial situation, a broken heart, a broken trust. Storms come in different versions. Though they come from different, and how many know there are different types of storms? But whatever the direction of the storm, they all have the same purpose. And that's to disturb the peace. And I just want to say to you very plainly, and whatever your storm is, let's not dismiss it. Just call it what it is. It's a storm. It's something that's disturbing my peace. Here's the key. In prophetic view of storms, it's time to share the gospel and not be quiet. In personal view of the storms, you've just got to keep your composure. Turn to your neighbor and say, freaketh thou not out. No, there's nothing wrong with saying it in King James. Everybody likes to say it. Freaketh thou not out. Write that on your mirror when you get home today. Freaketh. You just spell it the way you like. Freaketh thyself not out. I can't say it the same way twice. It's so spiritual. Let's just connect on this level first right now. How many will admit, I'm dealing with a storm. It's not. But I got a storm in my life. Just raise your hand. I got a storm in my life. Put it up there high. Come on, I'm not asking for money. I got a storm in my life. Put your hand up, leave it up there. Y'all need circular problems fixed. Look around. Now look around. Look around. All right. Put your hand down. We all got storms. You know, Jesus will rebuke the storm, and sometimes he will. But you know what? The Apostle Paul went through a storm, and he had to just wait it out. He just held on to this piece of the ship. I don't have to go to the bathroom. I'm just... That's what it looks like to float. You get awake every now and then, and you just, whoa, whoa. This is my message for you today, because I could stand up and get real preachy. You rebuke that storm. And you're like, I will when I come up out of the water. You're in it now. You're in it now. But I can tell you this, and before I get into it, I can tell you this one thing. Paul said while he was in the water, he said, but an angel of the Lord has stood by me this night. And he has, I'm just telling you, even if you walk on it, if you could dodge it, if God stops it, just like he did for that lady that Darcy talked, or if you just got to walk through it, I'm just telling you today that God is not absent of storms. He's not scared of storms. He's not worried about his reputation. You've got to reach out to the unchanging hand in the midst of the storm and say, guess what? You're going to be my life jacket. And you're going to get me out of this. I will not freak out. I will not lose my mind. I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be okay. I'm going to outlast this storm. Maybe you felt it coming. Maybe you didn't. I'm just telling you, storms come, but they don't last. Let me do this quickly. The Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8, in case you feel like being in a storm means that you're not spiritual, Paul said, we are hard-pressed on every side. How many of you have ever wondered how you're ever going to get out of this thing? Like there's no way out. Look what he said, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed. How many of you have ever felt overwhelmed? Look what he said. He felt that way. Look what he said, though. But we're not in despair. Persecuted. Why is everybody always picking on me? Anybody ever felt picked on? Tell me about how that feels. Verse 9. There are times we feel victimized. Look what he says. We've been struck down. It's like somebody, you know, it's one thing for you to lie to me, and I despise lying. But when you deceive me, you planned on it. How many know there's a lot of difference between lying and deception? You lied because you got caught. Whoa, I didn't think you were coming. But deception is, I knew you were coming. I knew I was going to do you in. I planned on setting you up. Paul's been through all of that. Musicians, come, let me quickly tell you what to do to keep your composure. This is my thou shalt not freaketh out part of the message. Are you ready? Number one, remember that God loves you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have ministry, we do not lose heart. We keep our composure. We don't lose. Why? Because we know that God's love for us is just as good on the cloudy days as it is on the sunny days. Come on, somebody shout, God loves me. Little boy was in a house that had been on fire, and he's on the second story. And the dad's down there saying, jump, jump. The little boy said, Daddy, I can't see you. Little boy, Daddy said, it's okay, I can see you. Been through some storms, and I didn't always see God in it. Got a few now, and I don't see God in it. But I can tell you this thing, I know this. I've been through enough of them to tell you, when I lost sight of God, I never did lose God's sight of me. Hallelujah. Number one, remember that God loves you. Number two, keep your integrity. Look what Paul said. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. Keep going. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. Somebody say this with me. Faith is your trust in God. Integrity is God's trust in me. Some people have faith, but they have no integrity. And people won't always remember what you look like when you come out of the storm. But your kids will remember how you behave in the middle of it. That stings. Because we're all mortal human beings. I'm not suggesting we got perfect parents. I mean, but how many will say, if I'm going to go through the storm, I want to be the same person in the storm as I am on the outside of the storm? Come on, how many know your integrity is more important than your comfort? I'm preaching now. I'm going to preach that one more time. I said, your integrity is more valuable than your comfort. And I'm afraid we're busy looking for comfort because everybody, the common theme in society now is if you feel it, then that's what you are. Well, I feel like a Twinkie. That's so foolish. And it's so damaging. Well, if I feel this way, this must be the way. No, sometimes you feel like a nut. And sometimes you don't. But I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to stand on the Word of God. Let people talk about you. You keep your integrity. You let people lie about you. You shut your mouth. You let people just talk rumors about why. No, no. You just keep your lip zipped. Keep on praising God. Because when all the dust settles, you're coming forth like gold, my friend. You're better. You're stronger because of it. We never read that Noah had a drinking problem until the flood. And after the waters receded, he got to drinking. Keep your integrity. Let me go through these last ones real quick, because I just need to say it, hit it, and quit it. You know, I can do that if I need to. Settle the why question. 2 Corinthians 4:5. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ our Lord. Ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For Christ I live. Come on, say that with me. For Christ I live. When you know why, you'll deal with the what. But when you lose your why, you'll get drowned by the what. When you are a person that lives on purpose for God, which is this, to win the lost, to use your gifts, and to participate in the kingdom system, when you do that, then you'll say the storm comes, but it doesn't change my purpose. Oh, okay, if you like that, you like the next one better. Accept your limitations. But we have this treasure in jar clays. Turn to your neighbor. Because, you know, this is kind of a sensitive topic, so I got to keep you talking. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're a mud pot. Go ahead, just tell them you're a mud pot. Don't tell anybody, but this church has got a pot problem. I'm telling you, ever since they voted, before they voted, we've had pot problems around here. Because I'm a pot, you're a pot. And the other way was true too. I'm not dumb. Pot problem. You start listing. I love that little bear. You start listing everything you can't do. Because that's what you do when you worry. Talk to me. Come on. We got visitors in the house. When you start listing what you can't do, that's called worry. And you'll feel overwhelmed. You start listing what God will do, and you'll be overwhelmed at His greatness. Come on, we're jars of clay, but He's an immutable God. Isn't that awesome? Except you're just a human being. How many have come to the point you can't make some people happy that don't want to be happy? Accept your limitations. You know what? I've done what I can. Okay. How about this one? Care for other people. Paul said, all of this is for your benefit. This is the best way I can describe it. Now, that's my last point. Have you ever felt like the devil was playing in your backyard? Come on, this could be like a real depressing Oprah show if I don't help you keep up a little bit. Like some of you come in and say, I had no problems till I went to church. So help me a little bit. I got it because somebody beside you is crying and somebody on the other side of you is like, you know, this is for somebody else. But if you're not in it now, you're just getting muscled up for when you do go through a storm. keep your integrity. Let them say what they want to you about you, but what they won't say about me is he compromised in the storm. Keep your why. Care for other people. Here's the struggle. Are you ready for this? And I think you'll agree with it 100%. How many understand we're a me society? Ladies and gentlemen, maybe the storm isn't about you. Come on. See, I couldn't get any response because you're just kind of infected by this thing. Because everybody wants to, why am I going through it? Why am I going through it? The rest of us are saying, why are we going through it? Well, you're talking about, you're going through it. You're killing us while you're going through it. Maybe you need to get your eyes out of the mirror and get your eyes on the window. And maybe your faith is being built. God didn't send this, but maybe the devil sent this. And at the end of the day, not only are you going to come out of it, but you're going to tell somebody else who's going to be going through the same thing you're going through a week down the road. And you're going to say, a week ago, I went through the very same thing. And let me tell you, the same God who helped me is the same God that'll help you. Don't waste what you went through by continually saying, what about me? Why don't you maximize what you went through and say, how can I use this to help somebody else? Maybe you fell. Maybe you fall. Maybe you got into sin. Maybe you backslid, but you've come back. Then use your testimony to tell somebody else, this is how you make a comeback. Is that all right? Can I have a microphone? Come here. Thank you. Diane, would you come here for a second? You know, it's a good thing nobody's offended when I forget their names. At least in my mind. That's what I tell myself. I'll come here. Come on, Diane. How much warning did you get that you're going to get this? To do this? No. Okay. Just the walk down here. Okay, so you hear me saying it, and there's a part of you in your spirit like, yep, I got it. There's another part of you that's like, that's good, but does it work? Give us a synopsis, the storm that you've been through and what God's done for you.
Yeah, 2 years ago, hadn't been sick or anything, and woke up in the night with major pain, thought it was my appendix, went to the hospital, and they said I had cancer. And went to the surgeon, had surgery. He said, no cancer. Thank the Lord. Went back 2 weeks later to have my staples out, and he said, you do have it, and you do have to have treatment. Never thought I'd face that. But, you know, even in the storm, I knew he was in control, and no matter how it went, he still was in control. And whether he took me home or whether he left me here, I had to leave it in his hands. I had to leave it in his hands and just trust him. Just completely trust him.
How did you keep yourself composed through all that?
Just read the word and just prayed.
Say that one more time.
Read the word and prayed. And when I felt weak, I just would call on his name. Just call on his name, and his presence would just overtake me. Because when I look back in my own human eyes, I couldn't have done it.
Wow.
Just couldn't have done it.
Wow.
But he helped me. He took my hand and he walked me through every single step of it. Every single step.
That's awesome. Thank you. Thank you for doing that. Yeah. The Holy Spirit just kind of impressed on me. There's a man here today that you've had thoughts continually in your mind because you're in the storm. I'm going to gas my car up and I'm just going to drive and I'm not coming back. You just want to leave. And so far it's just been entertainment in your mind. But I'm just telling you, if you keep thinking that way, someday you're going to fill your gas tank, you're going to pack your bags, and you're just going to drive and just not come back, and you're just going to go somewhere else. But I'm just telling you, in the midst of the storm, I wish I had a fancier answer than what that lady that just talked. Diane, oh my word. It's like a gift. No, really, you can't forget people that quick and it be nothing but supernatural. I mean, you have no idea how many things I've needed to forget. So Diane said it. It took me 40 minutes. Who would have thought it took a woman less time? Just read your Bible, pray, and call on Jesus. Don't undervalue the value of getting that Bible into your heart. Meditate on it day and night. You'll be like a tree planted beside still the river of living water, and it'll produce fruit in every season. When you get rooted in the Word and rooted in prayer and rooted in Jesus' name, I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to look like what you went through. I said, when you get rooted in the Word, you get rooted in prayer, you get rooted in Jesus, you are not going to look like what you've been through. The Bible says that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out and they didn't even smell like fire, but they had been in the fire. Why? Because when you call on Jesus, you won't look like what you've been through. You're going to come out with strength, with joy, with peace. You're going to be better than you thought you would be. I say to you in the name of Jesus today, you've already fashioned in your mind, you know this storm will pass, but you said, I'll never be the same. I'll never be happy. I'll never have peace. I'll never be outgoing. I'll never have dreams. No, you won't. You're going to have twice as much peace. You're going to have greater joy. You're going to have greater dreams. Come on, somebody. For God will return double for everything the devil tries to do in your life. I think you ought to give God praise right now for every promise that He has concerning our promises, our problems you can claim today in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that you put in every individual today, live and online, this overwhelming supernatural confidence that you're still the master of the sea. You're still the tower in the midst of the storm. God, whatever this storm looks like, it will not disturb our peace. For God, you're working and you meet us in the midst of the storm. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you would say, Pastor, when you pray today, pray for me because I feel like I'm in the eye of the storm and I feel so much pressure. I've connected with what you've said today. When you pray, I want you to pray for me. Just slip your hand up right now. Say, when you pray, just slip your hand up nice and nice. Say, I'm in that storm right now. I'm in that storm. I'm in the eye of the storm. I'm going through it. I'm going through it. That's awesome. Good, 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 good. You can put your hands down. Please, with your heads bowed and eyes closed. I need to be real honest with you that are here, and I feel even online. These things that are happening in our world, and there are many other things, are signs of the times. And if you think delaying a relationship with Christ is an option that you have, I'm going to tell you, no longer is that real. No longer is that real. Your options are getting fewer, not more. And today, Jesus Christ is sending signs to the world because He's not willing that any would die without Him. The Bible says He's not willing that any should perish, but that all will come into relationship with Him and have life. God's not willing that anybody should perish, and neither are we. If you're here today, you were born without a relationship with Christ. It's just the nature of mankind. And your sin condition separates you from God. It's what the Bible calls death. And so you live spiritually dead, disconnected from God. But the Bible says that God came, was born, lived a human life, was crucified on the cross, brutally beaten, buried, and rose from the grave to prove that He is divine, God Himself. He did that because of love. But He also knew that our sins, because He's just, have to be punished. And so the beating Jesus took, He took on Matt Ward's behalf. Without Christ, I deserve that beating, which is called hell. But because of Christ, Matt Ward doesn't get the beating. Matt Ward gets the blessing of knowing I'm going to heaven. How about you? Have you a time and a place in your memory that you can say, that was when I invited Christ into my life? I received the invitation to be a part of His family. Or maybe you've drifted from Him and you require, you know it in your heart. Your heart is gripped. Your heart is big. You're convicted and you say, I know I'm not living right. I need a fresh commitment. If you're one or the other, slip your hand up nice and high, long enough for me to see it, then you can put it down. Yes, yes, yes. Who else? Yes, I see you're over to my right in the balcony on the main floor. Yes, sir, I see you over there in the back. God bless you. Praise God. God bless you. Would everybody, without leaving, I'm going to ask you to stand in a moment, but nobody going towards the doors because it makes it hard for the people that need to come towards the altar. So if you physically can, would you all stand together with me? Would you all stand together with me? I want every person that raised their hand, either for prayer or for salvation, a fresh commitment, to quickly get into the nearest aisle and come and stand across this altar. Now, come quickly. If you raise your hand for either call, if you raise your hand for either call, come from all over the building. I need prayer. I'm in the eye of the storm. I'm in the tragedy. I'm in the difficulty. Don't delay. Come on, quick. Come on, quick. Come on, quick. Stand across this altar. Come on, quick. You raise your hand. I'm in the storm. Or you raise your hand. I need to give my life to Christ. Don't delay. Don't delay. Don't delay. Let me pray with you. Let me pray with you, please, today. Let this be the day. Let this be the day that you get it right with God. I'm going to wait just a moment. I'm going to wait just a moment. They're still coming. Still coming. Still coming. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful response. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Is everybody here that wants to be here? I don't want to rush. I know how I want to go about this. And I don't want to miss this moment. Is there anybody else? I'm not trying to pressure, but man, I don't. But there's a moment when God is moving, and I like to be within that moment. Okay, would all of you just kind of get shoulder to shoulder? Don't be behind anybody. Like one line right all the way across here. One, help me, Vinny. Please help me, Vinny. Get one line all the way across here. Thank you. Awesome, awesome. Now, church family, there's enough. Could I have at least one or two people to pray with every person that's here to come quickly? Come quickly. If you would, at least one or two people that would come and pray for a person that's in this altar. You have no idea how much somebody came to church saying, I need my church family. I need my church family. I need to have an opportunity. I need to have an opportunity. If you're watching online and you need Christ, I need you to stay plugged in. Stay connected, for God's going to do something miraculous for you here today. All right. Before we pray, just to cooperate with me here. Before we pray, who of you raise your hand and say, I need to give my life to Christ, or I need a brand new beginning? Just slip your hand up. As you can see, I'm not going to embarrass you. Just slip your hand up and say, that was me. I need to make a fresh commitment with Christ. Just kind of single at me, hey, that was me. And I needed somebody to pray with me at this altar. Is there anybody that came down for that? I saw about six hands right here. There's a young man right here. Just come pray with him. Who else? Who else? Is there anybody else? I saw about five hands. And I'm going to tell you today, there's something powerful about publicly coming to Christ. It's scriptural. Jesus said, if you're not ashamed of me, I won't be ashamed of you. But if you're ashamed of me, then I'll be ashamed of you before my Father. You don't want to be ashamed of God. He died for you publicly. You want to serve him publicly. Is there anybody else? Maybe you raised your hand and you didn't come, but this is your moment. This is your opportunity to give your life to Christ. Is there anybody else? Is there anybody else? All right, I want to pray with this young man over here. Let's just pray this way together. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. May this be the day that my heart is changed forever. Please forgive me from all my sins. I want to serve you for the rest of my life. I give you my life to bless, direct, and guide. I receive salvation. I am now connected to you. Thank you for a brand new beginning. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Help them. Help him. Would you, Lauren? Would you stretch your hand this way? And let's pray for all of these precious brothers and sisters right here. Tears are running down their cheeks. needing God to help them. I think there's hundreds of you. Would you just lift up your voice and begin to pray? Let them hear you praying for them right now. In the name of Jesus Christ. There's a brother over here on the very end. If somebody would help me to pray. A brother on the very end. Nobody's. Yes, thank you, Malcolm. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we lift every person in this altar up to you. God, we admit there are many storms that are in this place, but there's some that are in the eye of the storm. They're just reaching maximum impact from this storm. But today, we are grateful that you're still greater than what we're going through. I pray that you'll give them incredible strength. I pray that you'll give them incredible stability. I pray, God, that they'll not waver. I pray they'll not be double-minded, but they'll be single-minded in their faith. I pray, God, that not one will ever feel like this is punishment from you. God, let everyone know that you're the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace, the God that's greater than everything or anything that we encounter, face, or go through. Help a mom with her broken heart. Encourage a father with his confidence. Give a grandparent the answer to their greatest desire. God, I pray that you heal bodies that have been sick. In the name of Jesus, receive your healing now. Hallelujah. I pray, God, for people who are under financial devastation, I pray, God, you'll give them a plan to walk this out. In the name of Jesus Christ, you're still a strong tower. You're still a great God. There's nothing too hard for you to do. And God, I pray that we'll, as a church, learn to pray our way through these things. Pray our way through the valley. Pray our way over the mountain. Pray our way in the darkness. Pray our way in the fog. Pray our way when we can see it. Pray our way when we can't see it. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I believe, God, testimonies are being formed. Testimonies are being built. Great stories that will be shared to win the lost are being written right now. Reality is going to change. Peace is going to come. The sun is going to shine. And we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for it, Lord. In the name of Jesus.